And Bruff.
Wow.
You need an army.
On the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
There is one main question.
Why are you guys on the MLS?
But also, how can the Canucks win the Stanley Cup?
Go off, young king. Go
off. What? Record levels almost of house positivity. What?
Go off.
Yeah.
What?
This market is so driven by the media and how they can put a negative spin or a positive spin, and it seems to me that more often than not we're talking about the negative side of the Canucks and the negative downside of it, where it's really unfair.
Bertanen with speed into the Calgary zone, cuts through the middle, over to the left point, tries a long wrist shot, he scores! Jake Vertanen from the line fools Jacob Markstrom. Puck looked like it changed direction on its way to the net. And the Canucks lead 1-0 just after the midway mark of the first period.
Here are your hosts, Mike Halford and Jason Brough.
Good morning, Vancouver. 6:01 on a Tuesday. Happy Tuesday, everybody. It is Halford. It is Brough. It is Sportsnet 650. We are coming to you live from the Sportsnet 650 studios in beautiful Fairview Slopes in Vancouver. Jason, good morning.
Good morning.
Nephew Dom, how are you now?
You're so toxic, Mike.
I am. Are you slipping under? Good intro, Dominic. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Before we get into the Sprots and the home of the toxins, got to tell you about the fine folks at the Dilawri family of Acura dealers. Experience the Dilawri difference today. Visit your nearest Dilawri Acura dealer today. You can do so by visiting one of three dealerships, North Shore Acura, Acura of Langley, and Burrard Acura. On Terminal Avenue.
Their cars aren't very toxic.
They're completely clean.
Yeah.
Cleanest cars on the market.
Toxin-free.
That's right. They could promise that. We've got a lot to get into on our program today. What's happening? Well, we've got a bevy of guests to walk us through. I've got the wrong notes up. There we go. We've got a bevy of guests to walk us through the day prior to free agency. Tomorrow is when it really kicks off. Free agent frenzy starts bright and early in the morning. We'll be here for it. Leading into that, though, we have a big lineup of guests starting at 6:30 with Justin Bourne, our NHL analyst from Sportsnet and Fan 590 in Toronto will be joining us. There are a million questions that need to be answered about Jack Eichel, Gabriel Landeskog, Dougie Hamilton, Ryan Suter and Zach Parise. Are they still a thing? Are they a pair? We'll talk to Bourne about that at 6:30. 7 o'clock, Sam Cosentino, prospects expert from Sportsnet. You promised this yesterday, that we would get somebody on, an expert in his field as it pertained to prospects, so we could run through the Canucks draft class and how well they did or didn't do with that handful of picks they had available on Friday and Saturday at the entry draft.
I also want to talk to Sam just about, not just about this year's class, but the remaining class that hasn't graduated to the NHL. What do the Canucks have? How comfortable should they feel with this group of young players in their system?
8 o'clock, Thomas Drantz is going to join us on the program from the Athletic Vancouver. We'll ask the NHL-wide questions of Bourne at 6:30. With Drantz, we can ask about two in particular as it pertains to the Vancouver Canucks, the Braden Holtby situation, and the Nate Schmidt situation. Still unresolved at the time of going to air at 6:03 in the morning here. We will maybe find out something today, but it's very possible that this could drag out into free agency, maybe into the second buyout window. So Drantz at 8 o'clock to talk about all that. So working backwards, 8 o'clock, Drantz, 7 o'clock, Sam Cosentino, 6:30, Justin Bourne. It's all right here on Sportsnet. That was a quick one. We are moving along. Dom, let's tell everybody what happened.
Hey, did you guys see the game last night?
No. What happened?
I missed all the action because I was...
We know how busy your life can be.
What happened?
Missed it?
You missed that?
What happened?
All right, what do we want to start with here as it pertains to the Vancouver Canucks? This is your home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650. We can either go with the rumored player acquisition, or we can go with the overriding narrative. There's
things. Let's start with the player stuff,
okay.
Because as much as we like to discuss this, it is a bit of navel gazing at times from the Canucks media. Let's start with the team, because the big news yesterday, at least the report, there was a report that the Canucks have a deal, or a talking deal, maybe a 2-year deal with a player that used to play for the Canucks, Luke Shen.
This one courtesy of Andy Strickland from Bally Sports Midwest and the Fan 590 in St. Louis. Andy's been an NHL insider and reporter for quite a while, so he's reporting that it's a two-year deal in pocket for Luke Shen to return to a Canucks team in which he had a cameo appearance, I guess we could say, 18 games.
A cup of coffee.
Thank you. During the 2018-2019 campaign. And if I recall correctly, and I'm not just pulling this out of thin air, I actually did the research, fairly well received during his brief time as a Vancouver Canuck.
I mean, he was fine.
Yeah.
And I think we have to...
No toxic.
No. But we have to also remember that it's not a good team, right?
In 2018-2019.
I mean, or just it hasn't been a good... Even the teams that have gone to the bubble, like the Canucks want to improve on that. Luke Shen is a depth defenseman, and I think if you expect him to play in the top four, you're going to be very disappointed. Or at the very least, if he's playing in the top four, you probably got a problem. So this is good. The Canucks needed more depth on the back end. Mm-hmm. They needed guys that can play, that have proven that they can play in the NHL, and Luke Shen has almost 800 games in the NHL.
31 years old.
But people will talk about this guy and be like, oh, he's a Stanley Cup champion with Tampa Bay. The guy played 8 playoff games.
Two-time Stanley Cup champion.
Okay. But this most recent, thank you, this most recent playoff appearance, he was 8 games in the playoffs and averaged less than 10 minutes a game.
Well, it underscores what you were talking about. On a really, really, really good team, a Stanley Cup champion caliber team, Luke Shen is a part-time defenseman. If you look at his numbers, he basically played half of Tampa Bay's games during the regular season and then less than half of their postseason games. He was a seventh defenseman.
So this is the way I see it. He's an upgrade on Jalen Chatfield.
Oh, yeah.
But Luke Shen should probably be a seventh or eighth defenseman on the Canucks if they feel like they want to make the playoffs.
Right. And looking at
I think they feel that they want to make the playoffs.
And looking at it right now, he quite simply isn't. He's probably a fifth or sixth defenseman just based on what they have, or more specifically what they don't have. There's not a lot of deep dive analysis, to be honest, that we can do on this one. It's more just leading off the show with a bit of news because, one, it is free agency tomorrow. Two, it's a bit of a familiar name, so it kind of perks some eyebrows when it came up yesterday.
And it's a right shot defenseman who can add a little bit of toughness if necessary.
And I think it's maybe a bit of foreshadowing as to what free agency is going to look like. Because the indication, for me anyway, I don't know if you can disagree with this if you like, but a two-year deal in pocket would seem to me to suggest that maybe they brought the cap hit down a little bit. Because Luke Shen's been playing almost exclusively on one-year deals for a while.
This deal better be pretty much the league minimum.
Right, it's got to be. So you're saying sub $1 million per?
Around there.
Yeah.
Whatever. You know, it should just be around league minimum, especially if they're giving Luke Shen term. This guy was nearly out of the NHL not long ago. The question for me going forward is, what else are they going to do on that right side of the blue line?
Yeah.
Because I still see Luke Shen as a depth defenseman, maybe not even in the starting lineup. So on that right side, we're still talking about the same issues, right? Mm-hmm. They haven't re-signed Travis Hamonic. Maybe they're able to do that. They're probably going to trade Nate Schmidt. What will they get back for that? And then they've got Tyler Myers. Tyler Myers on the right side is the only sure thing that they've got next season.
Okay, playing behind that constructed defense, of course, is Thatcher Demko. And for the moment, Braden Holtby. But the Braden Holtby situation continues to percolate. I love using that word, percolate. In large part because there's some time elements to what the Canucks want to do or maybe need to do with Holtby. So what you're looking at now is the possibility of still being bought out. That remains. Wednesday is free agency. The fear for Holtby, I would imagine, is that his status remains in limbo going into Wednesday, and then this game of goalie musical chairs happens, and he doesn't have a seat in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Canucks...
His nightmare would be getting bought out in the second buyout window.
Exactly.
And then going to free agent. He'd become a free agent, and he'd be like, oh, looks like everyone found their guy.
For those that don't know what we're talking about here, there is a second buyout window that can happen later in the summer, essentially when restricted free agents start to get their deals done and potentially go to arbitration. I won't bog you down with the details. But you're right. Holtby's nightmare scenario is getting to that window, being out of a contract, and also being out of options for a team to go to. I think that is why there's so much chatter about a trade right now. So we've got audio on this we can play.
Just a sec. Before we play this audio, yeah. I think if Nate Schmidt isn't traded and Braden Holtby is left in limbo and that kind of screws up his situation, you're going to hear a lot of complaints from those players and their reps.
Yeah,
just a prediction. Just a prediction. Because in talking to a few people behind the scenes, like, Nate Schmidt wants out. Mm-hmm. And this is not just me taking speculation and turning it into a fact. It is
rumor, Jason.
It has been reported over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. So if the Canucks cannot complete something, and I think at this, they have to complete something because they're up against the cap. Mm-hmm. But Nate Schmidt also probably wants to go to a team that he's going to be comfortable with. The Braden Holtby situation, if they let this guy leave him in limbo and then he either goes to a team he doesn't really want to go to a team or it costs him a lot of money, mm-hmm. I think he's going to be upset, although he will have his buyout money.
Here is Sportsnet's very own Elliot Friedman on the Braden Holtby situation. This was yesterday as Friedge appeared on the Fan 590 in Calgary.
Well, I think Holtby wants to be moved, and I think they want to move him. I just think his cap hit is, 4.3, and his cash for this year, I think it's 5.7. So it's tricky, right? I think teams have told them they want them to eat salary or incentivize them. You know, Vancouver's already done that, incentivized once. They gave up the 9th overall pick to make that deal with the Coyotes. I'm not sure they want to do that again. Now, there's one more day to buy out. I think there's interest in Holtby. I do. I think there's real interest in him to come and play in a couple of places. The question is, are they going to buy him out tomorrow? It's been suggested to me Vancouver will have a second buyout window if it wants because they have players eligible for arbitration, right. Like Dickinson and Petter, not Pettersson. Like Dickinson is one. But, like, I got to think, if you're Holtby, if you know you're not going to be available until the end of August, you're going to go crazy because all the jobs might be full by then.
Yeah.
So I'm really curious to see if he gets bought out tomorrow.
There's also some urgency on the Canucks side to test the free agency market because if they buy out Holtby or move on from Holtby, if they don't have Holtby, hey, you know what else they need? A goalie.
Right.
A backup goalie. And for those texting in with Mike DiPietro, if the Canucks go with Mike DiPietro as their backup, yikes.
They won't, plain and simple. Mm-hmm. It's asking way too much. And I think what's going to happen here is the Canucks will move on from Holtby. There'll be a replacement in the door. The big question is who? Because the revolving door in net, as it is most summers, is spinning quite wildly. So
do the Leafs have a goalie?
The Leafs
don't. They have Jack Campbell.
Yeah, the Leafs have Jack Campbell. The Carolina Hurricanes need to address their situation.
Well, they always do. So they're just
the Boston Bruins need to figure out their situation, Nick, because right now they only have Jeremy Swayman.
What about Colorado?
Colorado is still working with Philip Grubauer. Mm-hmm. Arizona has goalies, but it sounds as though that they're prepared to trade Darcy Kemper, which gluts the market even further.
Why hasn't he been traded? They've done everyone else.
I know. They are waiting on that one.
By the way, I know this isn't about goaltending.
Okay.
Have you seen that Arizona roster?
It's hilarious.
It is absolutely hilarious.
It's the most...
Who is left? Who of the young players that they've drafted throughout the years... Who's left? Clayton Keller and Chikrin?
Nick Schmaltz.
Nick Schmaltz. He was a Chicago.
Christian Dvorak.
Oh, okay. Right.
Not many. It's the biggest mishmash of discarded parts.
Is Kessel going to get traded?
He's on the list that NHL.com put out yesterday.
Do you think Kessel is quietly like, man, I hope I don't get traded. There's going to be like no pressure Arizona this year. Yeah. No pressure. Yeah. I don't want to go anywhere.
I think he's looking around. He's like, I get used to this. This will be all right.
I've won my cups. Yep. I liked golf. Arizona's got great golf.
According to Daily Faceoff right now, their fourth line is Jay Beagle, Louis Erickson, and Lawson Crouse.
Elite.
What a fourth line.
They have nobody signed. They have somebody. Like they have five or six players signed for past this upcoming season.
Yeah, I don't know.
Are they trying to? Are they like? It'll be easier for the movers, or like, less people to move.
I mean, they have stockpiled picks. They have. I think they own the entire second round next year.
They have five picks in the second round next
but
year.
But I don't understand what the end game is, unless it's a total rebuilding. But at that point, it's like, why do you even have Clayton Keller signed? Like, why not just trade everybody? Because it just seems like they're now a clearinghouse for crappy money again.
Unless they're going to go crazy in a free agency, unless they're trying to, I don't know, set themselves up for... They can't be in the Jack Eichel sweepstakes. They just can't.
Let's move past the Arizona Coyotes. We should focus. Home of the Canucks. Home of toxicity. Sportsnet 650. Halford and Brough. The final one that we needed to get to in the intro. So we got through Luke Shen. We got through Braden Holtby. The Nate Schmidt situation. According to Thomas Drance of The Athletic, not really per Drance. It's just sort of the obvious thing here. Is of the two deals that are most rumored, the Holtby one takes precedence over the Schmidt one. If only because there's not the same time constraints with Schmidt. There's a large understanding out there that the market might wait for Schmidt as an almost consolation prize, and that's not the right way to put it, but after what happens with Dougie Hamilton.
And Ryan Suter, I think. Right. More. Yeah. Yeah. Well, so Dougie Hamilton on the right side, and then Ryan Suter. These guys are the big free agents.
Just in terms of dominoes falling, mm-hmm. and who goes where and who needs what.
Because in some ways, they're easier players to deal with, because you just try and negotiate a contract. With the Canucks, you have to negotiate a trade.
Right. Now, the question for me on the Schmidt thing would be, is it going to be a defenseman in return? Can you make a good old-fashioned hockey trade? Like, you know how the Columbus Blue Jackets and the Philadelphia Flyers, you know, joined hands to exchange Cam Atkinson for Jacob Voracek? It was kind of a hockey trade. They had similar contracts.
What was that all about, anyway?
I think it was just a change of scenery for both. And not even a change of scenery, more for the teams. Like, let's just change it up. Like, Atkinson had been in Columbus for a while, and Voracek had been in Philly for a while. Voracek had ties to Columbus, obviously. Mm-hmm. The money kind of made sense.
Was Voracek maybe something to do with Laine? Like, someone to play with?
Maybe. Honestly, the more that I read about it, it was just like, this is a trade that we're just changing it up. Mm-hmm. Philly wanted to have a different look. Columbus wanted to have a different look. No one really won or lost the trade. It was just a good old-fashioned one-for-one hockey trade. So I wonder if they'll do that with Nate Schmidt, or if it will be Schmidt out for picks and then do something with the near $6 million in cap space. I bring that aspect of it up because we're not going to focus so much on Schmidt. But from 31 Thoughts, Elliot and Jeff Merrick talking about the defense problem that Vancouver has currently. We got that audio, Dom? Let's play it now.
First of all, Vancouver knows they have a D problem. Edler coming to the end. Hamonic, not long-term. He's still playing, but, you know, it's short-term deals. Schmidt doesn't want to be there. All of a sudden, you got three holes on defense.
Yep.
And Arizona is saying, we're not doing this deal unless, you know, we're talking OEL.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, to me, it's the most fascinating part of the deal, because Vancouver has a need for him. Take out the salary for a sec, I know, which is hard to do.
Ooh,
but Vancouver has a need for the player. They need him.
And that is really the rub with anything. It's if someone goes out right now, they're going to need to get bodies in. Because as we mentioned with Luke Shen off the top, it's a rumored two-year deal per Andy Strickland. That's great. That's fine. But again, Jason said it earlier. If Luke Shen's playing anywhere near your top four, or even on a nightly basis, probably not a great thing for you. On a great team like Tampa Bay, he was the seventh or eighth defenseman.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he'll probably play a bigger role in Vancouver because they're not as good as a team. That's basic logic. But there needs to be other guys coming in the door on defense. And I don't know what direction they're going to go in, because we're still a day away from free agency and everything is moving. Brendan Dillon was apparently up for grabs by a trade. He's on his way to Winnipeg.
Are there any guys that, and I'll throw this out to the listeners too, are there any defensemen out there, realistically speaking, like, don't text in Dougie Hamilton, because I don't think the Canucks can make that work with their cap situation.
I don't think Ryan Suter's coming here either.
Any defensemen that you want? Maybe they could be cheap in a trade or just signing in free agency. We've shown you the list before. There's not much there.
And
there
nothing
just really,
really
isn't.
And nothing
David
really
Savard is going to get paid.
Yeah. And nothing really shook free yesterday with the qualifying offers for restricted free agents. Sure, there were some defensemen that came available, but did you notice the guys that didn't get qualified that were somewhat intriguing were almost all forwards? They were all spare part forwards.
Yeah.
I'm not sure there's a lot there. Okay.
Although I do want the Canucks to sign Jujhar.
Right.
That would be awesome.
But that really doesn't help them on defense. But I get what you're saying.
Might help them fourth line center. Do they have a fourth line center yet? He can play fourth line center.
Yep.
He could be their fifth center, and he could add a little toughness. I like the by the way, I do like the way the Canucks are looking up front. Maybe this is the old school in me. I think they could add some toughness.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't think Zach McKeown's going to be, you know, really part of the group anymore. Did they qualify him, or did they need to? I don't even know if he's part of the organization anymore at this point. At any rate,
okay. So the poll question today are you can check it out now. It's at the Loon Sportsnet 650.
He is signed for a year.
Good stuff.
Okay.
Good stuff.
I'm glad we walked through that on air.
Well, I'm glad we are too, because it just brings up an issue of. Thanks for your input, Dom. I always appreciate it.
He got qualified the other day. The only guys that didn't really of note were Michaelis and Harlech.
Okay. He didn't because he had a contract already for this year, so it doesn't matter. But the Canucks, I think they need to add a little toughness up front. Mm-hmm. So that's why we went through that exercise.
The poll question today. This comes from yesterday, the Loon. This comes from yesterday's audio. We'll play the poll question. We'll play the audio. What's more toxic? Canucks Twitter, Canucks media, asbestos, or the Canucks themselves?
Just a fun little poll question. Halford didn't really play it up like it was fun. It's not meant to be serious. It's a fun poll question.
Just having a good time.
I do enjoy the people that have voted asbestos. They're like, actually, you know what? Asbestos,
they get it.
Asbestos can be pretty dangerous.
They might be accurate. They might be right. Who's to say, though?
Canucks Twitter. There's already been 600 votes on this. God. Canucks Twitter winning this poll by quite a large margin. 47% are saying Canucks Twitter. In second place, asbestos at around 20%.
Good job.
And then
job
Canucks asbestos. Media and the Canucks are both tied at around 16%.
I'm rooting for asbestos because I want you to say at the end of the show, congratulations to asbestos. You have won the poll. The only thing that asbestos has won in the last 50 years is our poll question. I did kind of present the poll in a serious tone. I suppose it's because my mind was going to the actual comments that kickstarted this whole thing. The inspiration behind the poll question yesterday, NHL player agent Kevin Epp, who represents really all the Canucks that were in the news in the last week, Oliver Ekman-Larsson, Jake Virtanen, Travis Hamonic, went on with Donnie and Dolly on Czech TV, the team, Donnie and Dolly, and had some very pointed criticisms of the Vancouver market. We will play that audio now.
Yeah, I think throughout his career, you know, it's a tough market, you know. I mean, you guys know firsthand how the media is here. And, I mean, we're going through it right now with OEL, you know. It's crazy, you know. They make a trade for a number one pairing defenseman, a top player, and they're already being scrutinized over the deal. And it's crazy to think that this market is so driven by the media and how they can put a negative spin or a positive spin, and it seems to me that more often than not we're talking about the negative side of the Canucks and the negative downside of it, where it's really unfair, you know, and I think it goes that way with a lot of players. And I think you've seen over the years there's been a lot of free agents and players that haven't come to Vancouver or Canadian markets because they don't want to be under the scrutiny of every day is do or die in the fans and the media's eyes, because, you know, one day, you know, you look at Mark Bergevin, you know, he's up for GM of the year and, you know, he makes a move at the draft and next thing you know, people are, you know, calling for him in certain ways. And, you know, prior to them beating Toronto, I mean, there was lots of talk that he was going to be let go or fired, and then he gets up for GM of the year. So it's just the climate, and, you know, it's great to be in a fan base where people are so passionate, but it's also very difficult on players and their families and their and how they are, you know, and I think it's tough.
So there's a lot to unpack there. We'll unpack it as the show progresses. Mm-hmm. I did enjoy Mark Bergevin, quote-unquote, makes a move at the draft.
Yikes.
He did more than that. He did a little bit more than that. We will discuss this, and here's something that I'm going to tease for later in the show. I will admit something that Vancouver media could probably stand to do a little bit better. Yeah. So if it's about accountability and it's about just trying to be better, and I won't speak for all of Vancouver media, but I will criticize a lot of Vancouver media, including myself.
Okay.
Including myself. Something we can do, a little bit better to calm the waters a little bit at times. It's Alfred and Brough show on Sportsnet 650. Justin Bourne is coming up next. We'll ask him. I mean, Bourne is a BC guy. He spent time in BC. He spent time all over, but he spent a lot of time in BC. He knows the market. He's in Toronto now. He's lived in the States. We'll ask him what the reputation of the Vancouver market is. And we'll also get into some of these other NHL stories around the league. It's the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650.
NHL signing season on Sportsnet 650 is brought to you by Black & Lee's Summer Warehouse Sale. Buy one, get one half off all suits. Details at blackandlee.com. Also, not having monthly fees means no monthly fee increases. Switch to a Simply Financial no-fee checking account and earn $200. Conditions apply. Visit simply.com.
Tuesday, Halford Brough, Sportsnet 650. Friendly reminder that the first hour of this program is brought to you by the Dallari family of Acura dealers. Maybe they could hook you up with a lowrider. Who's to say? They probably won't. Experience the Dallari difference today. Visit your nearest Dallari Acura dealer today. To the phone lines we go. Joined as we are every week on this fine program, our fine guest from Fan 590 and Sportsnet's NHL coverage, Justin Bourne, now on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. What up, Bourne?
Hello, gentlemen. How's everyone today?
We are well. We only are exhibiting minor traces of toxins in our content this morning. And that's an important thing. That's been the sort of overnight talking point, largely on social media, but we're picking it up for this morning. The conversation stems from the comments made by player agent Kevin Epp yesterday in this market, where he sort of classified Vancouver as overly negative, a ton of scrutiny, constantly under the gazing eyes of the toxic media. Now, you spent time in BC. You've also been fortunate enough to spend time in other NHL markets, both in Canada and in the U.S. What are your impressions of Vancouver as a hockey market?
Well, first off, that comment by Kevin Epp reminds me of when you tell your very angry significant other to calm down like that, like it's going to do any good. Like, yeah,
relax, honey.
Yeah, exactly. That always goes over swimmingly. I don't believe that any one hockey market is all that much worse than the next, particularly here in Canada. I think it's more reflective of the success the team has had, the expectations, and how they've fallen short of that. Like, the Canucks fans probably feel like they were owed that cup in 2011. Like, to validate a lot of what they had done and built and the good teams they had, and, like, not getting one that year, I don't know, man. It felt really hard to deal with. And now in the backlash of that, as they got worse going away from that year, it really has, I don't know, there's a defiance or a frustration or I don't know what it is to the Vancouver's market that I don't think the people are any worse, or I don't think anyone's saying anything different. I think the team has been bad, and the frustration is just at a very high level.
I think you nailed it there. I think there's still hints of that Stanley Cup disappointment in the market, and I know it seems ridiculous that it was a decade ago, but I think the market would be a lot different if they had just won that Game 7 against the Bruins, because the Canucks' fall was so quick and so dramatic after that. Yeah, I know they won the President's Trophy the year after that, but it was like largely considered the best team in hockey in 2010-11 until they lost to the Bruins. And then two or three years later, they were like Buffalo Sabres level. That's how, and it was like, wait a minute, what? It's over now? And then there was a refusal to go through the full rebuild and the teardown. And there was a lot of people that said, you're doing this wrong. And then when it was proven that they were doing it wrong, the anger starts coming. And then they just keep making those moves that people don't like. So I agree with you that there's a lot of frustration, and some of it is right frustration. But I do think that Canucks Twitter has something going on that maybe is unique to Canucks Twitter, in that there's almost an I don't know if it's gallows humor, some of it, or just like, this is what we do. It's almost like the Bruins, you know, like, we're the big bad Bruins and this is what we do, or Philly fans are like that. Do you see that online, or do you try and spend less time online now?
No, I live online. It's awful. It's a bad place to be, but I live there. No, I hear more about Canucks Twitter. Maybe it's because I'm a Kelowna, BC guy. I get spared some of it. Maybe I'm more complimentary of the Canucks than other media members or something, but for whatever reason, I haven't dealt with it directly. But I do, you know, I do know people who've worked in the market and struggled with some of the backlash. I think one of the things that this is going to not go over great, maybe. One of the things I notice is that some of the most prominent media members have an analytical bent. And the analytical bent has led them to point out very correctly a lot of the mistakes of these regimes, but it also has led to them being negative because the decisions have been poor and they've been reflected in that. So there's this, like, pushback against the team that they're doing things wrong and the media is right. There's pushback from the media that they're doing things wrong and that's turned out to be right. It just doesn't feel like there's any one group who's being positive about the team who gets rewarded for being positive about the team. So what's the point anyway?
Yeah. No, that's a good point. Let's talk about the goalie situation around the league, Bourne. We'll start with the Leafs. Like, what are the Leafs going to do in goal? What are the Colorado Avalanche going to do in goal? These are teams with high expectations, big money rosters, and they're like, we should probably get a goalie. That seems important.
You know, it's almost like everyone knows there's a lot of goalies available, so no one's worried, and everyone should be. You know, it's like, it doesn't matter if there's 10 guys available. You need to get one, and one good one, and one that can win you hockey games. And I just feel like a lot of the names that are out there are, like, good, but they're question marks in decline. Like, is Freddie Anderson still good? Probably, but I'm not certain about that. And then there's guys who are, like, on the way up who might be good. Like, is Nedeljkovic good? I guess, like, he might be. It just feels like there's no guarantees out there. Darcy Kemper, probably the biggest guarantee out there. Could you trade for a Robin Lehner? It just feels like musical chairs. A lot of teams are involved and we're waiting for the music to stop. But yeah, I'm not sure. I think there's a lot of teams that are comfortable about the goalie situation and they're not going to end up with someone they're happy with.
How limited is Kyle Dubas in his selections, essentially? How much cap space does he have to work with to find a goalie?
Yeah, I think they got about $9 million or something. I imagine they're comfortable spending $3 or $4 on a goaltender to go along with Jack Campbell. You know, the question is just like, what's going to happen with Morgan Rielly? Is Morgan Rielly going to be a guy that they can't re-sign for, you know, because of their salary cap situation? So, you know, Rasmus Sandin is already going to be PP1. You know, would you consider moving Rielly? And then all of a sudden your cap space situation looks a lot different. So I think they got to figure out what the deal is with Rielly and assess how much they trust Jack Campbell, who has been injury prone and never been a real starter. You know, so how much money do you want to spend to insure against Jack Campbell potentially getting hurt?
We're speaking to Justin Bourne from Fan 590, Sportsnet's NHL coverage here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Bourne, I think we spoke last week in the aftermath of the expansion draft for Seattle, and both Jason and I said we're going to reserve judgment because they did retain a lot of cap space after that exercise, and if cap space is the biggest weapon going in to this summer, then we'll wait and see. Then the trade freeze lifted when we thought they were going to do something, and they didn't do an awful lot. I know you wrote about all these trades that had happened after the freeze, and the only one they did was the Tyler Pitlick move. So now, sort of two-thirds of their offseason are done, and we're going into free agency where they can make moves. But my question is, can you make sense of exactly what the plan is in Seattle right now? Or do you think that maybe they screwed up at some part along the way, either at the expansion draft or in the post-trades?
Well, you know, it's the old, you know, not to sound bougie, but like Occam's razor is you know, sometimes the easiest explanation is the right one. And it's like, I think maybe they messed up here. Like, unless something drastic happens, they used their leverage heading into the expansion draft to extricate absolutely nothing.
Right.
Nothing from a single team. It's mind-blowing. And I know a lot of people are like, heavy analytics crew. I think you got five analytics people. They're going to fleece some of these old boys. Everyone has analytics people. You're not fleecing anyone. Like, it's just, it didn't happen. I think Ron Francis went into the expansion draft and tried to, you know, he asked for too much in the wake of what Vegas got. And then in his first experiences with a lot of these guys, didn't want to, you know, bend the knee and look like someone who would give at the last minute. So we got nothing. Right now, I just am really disappointed with what they've done. I feel like they could have ended up with a lot more. So yeah, in UFA, they have a ton of money. Could they weaponize this cap space and, you know, take on some people's problems to add prospects or even add some big names? Yes. Yes, they could. I'm not saying it's a write-off yet, but as of things, how things look right now, I think they've fallen short of expectations.
Gary Bettman is always talking about so much parity in the league. And yet I'm looking at some teams and there are some really, really bad teams out there. I can count about five, I think. I'm thinking about, well, Seattle doesn't look very good right now, although we can be surprised. Arizona, I don't know how many players they have left. Well, certainly players that are under 30 and not on LTI, or should be. Buffalo is terrible right now.
Who's on Anaheim, by the way? Who's on?
I forgot about Anaheim.
Yeah, like, they're not good.
Just in general. How about Columbus and Detroit? There's a couple, two more teams. Like, who? What players do these guys have? What do you think's going on here? Do you think these teams are just loading up for free agency or preparing for free agency? Or are they looking to the draft next year and going, there's some pretty good players available?
Probably a combination of things. I just am so heavily in the camp that if you try to win immediately, like you're usually going to end up better. And I don't mean that in terms of like, is it the right thing for the Canucks to do it? I mean, bottoming out is fine till you get good players and start turning things around. But I just don't think you could do it for years in a row and end up just like climbing out of the hole. The Sabres haven't been able to climb out of the hole. Arizona hasn't been able to. The Oilers have made like a playoffs once since they bottomed out for Connor McDavid or whatever it's been, maybe twice. It's just not easy. So I think a lot of these teams that are looking bad and trying to rebuild right now, you have to add players now. Your players have to be in games that matter. They need to play with players who can play. Like, I just don't think it's a great strategy to just be awful for extended periods of time. So I hope some of these teams in free agency surprise us and add some talent to around their young guys to in hopes to let them develop a little bit more.
Will that be the debate that never ends? How to rebuild a hockey team properly?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. You know, it's too bad that the Leafs are bad. Because in theory, what they did, like, bottom out for 1 year in 2015-16, get the number one overall pick and turn things back around. Like, that makes sense to me. But
they did everything except win in the playoffs. They did everything right except win in the playoffs, which is kind of the big key is winning in the playoffs. Yeah.
But it is, that proves to you, though, that it's never promised when you're bad and you draft high. You know, okay, here comes Nylander, Marner, and Matthews. It's never promised that they're going to be good enough to beat the best teams. Like, yes, you can be promised to turn around and get good players, but, you know, what's Rasmus Dahlin going to be? And what's, I don't know, who else Buffalo drafted? Don't they have 20 first-round picks?
Yes, they traded them all away, though. They're all gone now.
Oh, okay. You're just like, you're promised good players, but you're never promised that they're good enough to beat the best teams. So, yeah, bottoming out is, it'll only take you so far.
One of the fundamental moments of team building, free agency begins tomorrow as we lead up to the frenzy. Bourne, thanks a lot for doing this today, man. We really appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of the week. There should be lots of developments to talk about, and we will do that next Tuesday.
All right. Sounds fun, guys. Enjoy.
You too. Thanks. That's Justin Bourne here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650.
Tomorrow is going to be wild.
Yep.
It really is. Mm-hmm. There's going to be some teams after tomorrow that go, we still have a lot of needs to address. There have to be. Speaking of the Sabres, I'm on their cap friendly page having a good laugh. Mm-hmm. They don't have a goalie under contract.
No. They're going to need one. That's an important position, folks.
Such an important. Many people say
you're hearing it more and more.
It is a very important position in hockey. They should probably get one. Well, Dustin Tokarski could bounce back. He's got a minor league deal.
There you go. Who knows? The goalie carousel is one of the many things that we'll get into throughout this show as it pertains to Braden Holtby, one of the Vancouver Canucks. Another Vancouver Canuck rumored to be on the trade block, Nate Schmidt. I guess the story is now coming out through multiple sources, including Patrick Johnson of the Province, Scott Billick of the Winnipeg Sun as well, I believe, that there was a deal in place to trade Nate Schmidt to Winnipeg, and that was rebuffed because Nate Schmidt, of course, has a no-trade clause. It's worth noting that Winnipeg also made a pitch for Schmidt last summer before the Canucks eventually orchestrated that deal out with Vegas. Schmidt turned them down then as well. So Winnipeg will no doubt be thrilled that they got rejected twice by Nate Schmidt. That should go over well in local circles. We will discuss the Vancouver Canucks, the market, the trades coming up in the next segment, and at 8 o'clock with Thomas Drantz of the Athletic Vancouver. It's your home of the Canucks. There's a lot of Canucks talk to come. It's Halford, it's Brough, it's Sportsnet 650.
Jason, do you enjoy a nice frosty beverage?
Yes,
well, I BC do. Liquor stores can help you out.
Especially when there's alcohol in it.
Molson Canadian 24 can packs. You can save $6 right now. Now only $30.29 at BC Liquor Stores. Products may vary. Please enjoy responsibly.
Sounds good.
I don't believe that any one hockey market is all that much worse than the next, particularly here in Canada. I think it's more reflective of the success the team has had, the expectations, and how they've fallen short of that.
No one hockey market in Canada is worse than the other, except for Winnipeg. No one wants to go there.
More on the Nate Schmidt situation. Pierre LeBrun just tweets out, Nate Schmidt's agent and Canucks GM Jim Benning have been working together on finding a new home for the veteran defenseman. The hope is to get him moved before the UFA market opens tomorrow. And then Pierre asks, do Boston or the New York Islanders make sense? And apparently Nate Schmidt, according to Pierre LeBrun, has a 10-team no-trade list.
That means 10 teams he can say, I don't want to go there. One of those, Winnipeg.
Has the reason why he wants out been made clear? That part is confusing to me.
I don't think it's any one particular reason. And as the situation unfolded, by the way, are we good, random listener, on calling this a report now and not a rumor? Donkey.
This is just media speculation.
Yeah, just still speculating.
So toxic.
So toxic. I don't think it was any one thing.
And the Canucks are not going to trade their first round draft pick.
That's also
why are you guys always trying to stir it up?
I think what happened was he really liked being in Vegas and he wanted to be there and he signed there long term. I don't even think it was necessarily all about Vancouver. I just think anywhere he probably went last year, barring Tampa Bay, was going to be a tough situation.
I disagree.
I also think that the Canucks looked at it and saw that maybe it wasn't a great fit from their side as well. I think the room and personalities probably played into it as well. I just don't think it was any one thing. I disagree
that it wasn't Vancouver's. I disagree that he wouldn't have been happy anywhere else, that it was more about Vegas than Vancouver. I think he came to Vancouver. He was upset about leaving Vegas, mm-hmm. and then Vancouver had a nightmare season. They had a nightmare season. Mm-hmm. The players weren't happy. The players weren't happy about right out of the gates. They were pretty much an awful team, and they screwed their playoff chances. Mm-hmm. Nate Schmidt did not play very well. They had a COVID outbreak. The players weren't very happy then. I bet there were some miserable people on that team walking around. It probably wasn't a very fun place to play. And Nate Schmidt was probably at the end of the day, he's like, you know what? This isn't a fit in any way. It isn't a fit for my hockey. I don't get much power play time here. Mm-hmm. I don't have, I'm paired with Alex Edler here, who, with all due respect to Alex Edler, you had to cover up a lot for Alex Edler because he couldn't move. Mm-hmm. And I think at the end of the day, Vancouver was just a terrible fit for him. I think there are other places where Nate Schmidt can go mm-hmm. and enjoy himself in the way that Nate Schmidt likes to. And hopefully this deal gets done quickly.
To answer your original question, I think it was a multitude of things, like Jason kind of alluded to there. I don't think it was any one particular thing. And I do think there's a side of this where the Canucks are seemingly willing to move him along, not just to bend to the players' want. I think that they kind of realize that maybe this isn't the right fit. And that's fine. It happens sometimes. To be honest, big picture, taking a step back, maybe it's better for all parties involved if they call it after 1 year as opposed to trying again and trying again. Because at this stage of the game, you don't want to torpedo the guy's value, right? You don't want him to have two consecutive bad years on the hop because then that contract becomes even more onerous. And right now, they've got some positive vibes moving forward. They've made a lot of changes. Things look different. It's going to be fundamentally different from last year from a player perspective. From an executive perspective, because the Sedins are in the door. They make changes behind the bench. I think you want to try and build some positive momentum. And if getting rid of a guy that isn't happy is part of that, then you do it.
Text into the Dunbar Lumber text line. Schmidt is that guy that got dumped by a girl, and now with his new girlfriend, he wants her to be everything his last girlfriend was, even though they are completely different people, and now he's unhappy.
I like that analogy a lot.
I would add that his new girlfriend is a psycho.
I think that there's something to this. I remember when, don't you remember when he left Vegas?
Can you not
what?
admit that the Canucks were a disaster last season? Yeah, and that might be.
This is about.
But you're saying, he's saying that this text is more about that. He's saying that no girl is going to satisfy. Don't clip this. That in the Nate Schmidt situation, right?
I've already agreed with you like three times on this. Because
I said I disagree with the fact that you said that anywhere that Nate Schmidt went last season, he would have been unhappy. I disagree with that.
That's fine.
I think it was more about Vancouver than it was Vegas.
But we've already established that last year was like a train wreck, right? What I'm saying is with this, it's a funny text. Because you can tell on a certain level that Schmidt thought that he was going to go into a situation with a team on the rise in Vancouver. Remember when he came in and he was talking about, these guys almost beat us in the bubble. They must be ready to put their foot on the gas and go. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go into this great young team. I think it fell way short of expectations. And you know why?
And then he started texting his old girlfriend.
Yeah, he was going back.
I miss you, baby.
Yeah, why are you going back to Vegas?
Playing
again?
Slow pitch with her.
Right. That's the kind of thing. They joined a co-ed team together. You know how that goes. But I think that the expectations that he had didn't meet the reality whatsoever. You know why? Because as you brought up on numerous occasions, it was a terrible season. It wasn't even just a mediocre season. It was awful. They had a team-wide COVID outbreak. I mean, don't underscore how bad it was last year, and not even on an on-ice perspective. So we'll see what happens now.
Who are their two big additions?
Last year?
Yeah.
Schmidt.
And Holpe.
Right.
And they're both like, get me out of here, please.
Yeah, we got to go. Speaking of got to go, Dom's giving us the wrap-up signal here. Would you like to say something before? Three locations to serve you better: North Shore Acura, Acura of Langley, Burrard Acura, 730 Terminal Avenue. You can visit our good buddies Jordan and or Dustin down at Burrard Acura. Experience the Dilawri difference today.
Not having monthly fees means no monthly fee increases. Switch to a Simply Financial no-fee checking account and earn $200. Conditions apply. Visit simply.com.